Hi everyone, you're listening to Awaken Your Higher Mind on VBS Radio. Last week we talked about hypnosis and hypnotic states and how they can affect us in our everyday life. This week we'll be talking about something called lucid dreaming, which is a type of approach to dreaming when we fall asleep at night, where we become conscious and lucid of the dream experience and can then go on to create unique experiences in dreams and access higher spiritual levels, as some people call it. I'd just like to mention that you are free to call any time during this program, so I'll be taking some feedback or questions from last week's program, or anything that you might be interested in discussing further in this week's program. And the number, the toll-free number for BBS Radio is 888-815-9756. And it's also on their homepage. So yeah, feel free to call in any time with any comments. So just to loop in from last week, the reason I think lucid dreaming is so important is because it allows us to access that deeper creative state of mind that is often suppressed in society. So we talked about how, language suppresses certain mental states and ideas from coming out in our world. That's just the way things have been kind of set up culturally, especially in the modern world. There's not much of that expression of the human spirit, so to speak. Everyone's kind of in such a race to get things done that we're constantly stuck in our thoughts and our emotions and reacting to everything rather than just finding that place of stillness and simply being and experiencing, which is a lot of what we've been focusing on in the last 2 weeks. So kind of to lead on from that, we talked about going into a state of mindfulness and observing your thinking and what you're feeling rather than reacting. Now, this state is actually really important to be able to work with lucid dreaming and to bring a sense of awareness into your dreams. So what you find is that you're no longer experiencing really dreams that are difficult to decode. But the more self-conscious you become, the more meaningful your dreams tend to become, and you find yourself having more dreams. They become a lot clearer and more vivid. And some people naturally begin to experience lucid dreaming, which is where you actually wake up and become conscious in a dream. So you might feel, very much like you're feeling at the moment, totally awake and going about your everyday life. And a lot of people report that, they did feel like they were awake, but then something changed. Something strange might have happened, like piece of furniture might have started floating around the room, and this triggered them off, and they thought, hang on, maybe I'm dreaming. And then they become conscious with the dream, and at that point you can do all sorts of interesting things, like break the laws of physics, kind of fly around, or read people's minds. There's all sorts of really fun stuff you can do in lucid dreaming. It's interesting how, most of us, when we sleep, we don't believe that dreams are something that we can really, use or control, or at least in modern society. There's just that presumption that we fall asleep, we might dream or not dream, and then we wake up. But interestingly, the dream is like almost the door to our spiritual selves. And it's hidden so much in plain sight. Don't often talk about it, but by learning about lucid dreaming, you can actually access these really profound states of being within yourself that are just really difficult to access while being awake. Some people believe that when we fall asleep, the energy body or the astral body, which is made up of energy and exists around us, kind of leaves the physical body and goes off to travel into the dream worlds. And often we just don't remember, and it's very hazy when we wake up in the morning. But what you find by practicing certain techniques that we'll be mentioning briefly here is that you can bring more consciousness to those experiences. And when your body exits, you know, the physical body, to travel, you know, to these worlds, you can actually kind of bring consciousness to that and remember those experiences. And you'll hear about, you know, near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences that, you know, people talk about. If you do a basic Google search, quite a lot comes up. And these are very similar to, you know, kind of astral projection or lucid dreaming types of experiences, where a person will, you know, maybe even see a tunnel of white light or a certain mythological creatures, or, you know, having encounters with certain beings. You know, people have written about encountering aliens, you know, their past relatives, you know, even other people from, you know, that they know in the dream world, to wake up and kind of talk to them and realize that they shared kind of a dream state, so to speak. And this is really fascinating, especially the implications. You know, if all of this exists in a greater reality that we can access through that door of dreaming, then it makes me wonder why people aren't more enthusiastic, you know, to explore lucid dreaming. And, you know, that's certainly why I'm doing a topic about it today, is to kind of share some of my experiences and what I've learned over the last few years, and you know, how this relates to the work that I've been doing with hypnosis, and looking at, you know, the styles that people use to think about the world, because a lot of us are really like in a hypnotic state, just interacting and engaging with the world, but our focus is so fixed that we're creating a set reality, but there's so much more outside that boundary. There's so much more outside that, you know, fixed spot of focus, that if we defocus for a moment and step back and simply become the being, the observer, what you begin to find is that, you know, your reality begins to expand, and the potential for reality begins to literally expand. And for me, I suppose lucid dreaming has been a great, like almost like a taster of, you know, what's really out there. Because once you've got that, you know, even that flash, that impression of what's possible, then that kind of makes you curious about, you know, what else you might be missing. And you might find that this is the case too with practicing lucid dreaming, if you haven't already. So a lot of the qualities of lucid dreaming that people find, you know, is that it can feel almost as real, you know, sometimes even more real than being awake in this reality, which also kind of brings up, you know, questions about, is this reality the real world, or, you know, is the dream world, or, you know, some people call it the astral plane, is that, you know, kind of more real? And there are theories out there that suggest that our world originated from that world, from the astral plane. And there's kind of like a hierarchy, a dimensional hierarchy. And what you actually find in lucid dreaming and these conscious dreaming states is that you feel certain emotions more intensely. And, you know, sometimes you might even experience feelings or emotions that you didn't even think you had, and most of them, you know, they're really positive. They're like a sense of joy or love, and it seems that, you know, there's like this blockage for in physicality, you know, that we can't really access those deeper states of like, you know, such as this profound peace that seems to be only accessible in the higher realms of consciousness, so to speak. And that's what's made lucid dreaming really interesting for me, is because it makes you wonder, you know, whether there is this greater reality. you know, this reality is just a small segment, not necessarily the be-all, end-all of human experience. And, you know, I'd assume that a lot of people that tune into BBS have already come to that realization. But for me, it's interesting to talk about this stuff because, you know, you can speak about it to anyone that you encounter in life that's not a part of a forum or a radio or, you know, a blog online where people are already in tune with that. But you notice, you know, people don't even give much thought to dreaming or, you know, what is reality or where are the limits of reality. And I find it interesting that there's a minority, really quite a small minority of people who have actually stumbled upon such things as lucid dreaming. And when we talk about, you know, the astral plane of consciousness, there's also quite a lot out there on the web, and there's a few good books. There's a book called Mastering Astral Projection by Robert Bruce, which actually goes into, I think it's a 3-month program, day by day, actually teaching you, you know, how to you know, train yourself to learn astral projection, which is very similar to lucid dreaming. You can also find more information about that book at astraldynamics.com, which is a really interesting site about the astral plane. And you know, on that website, you'll find a lot of assumptions like we can't access the astral plane, we can't experience lucid dreaming because we're not focused on, you know, our own core energy, our own life force flow for our bodies. Instead, we're focused on materiality and physical existence. And I've certainly found that to be quite accurate, because when we begin working with core energy, as we'll, you know, kind of begin introducing over the next few weeks, you'll find that you awaken to new experiences that you were just closed off to completely before, because of that constant saturation in material reality. So, you know, some other good reading resources that I've personally found on lucid dreaming that I recommend, you know, as a good starting point. There's a website called lucidity.com, which has lots of, you know, tutorials and information about what exactly is lucid dreaming, how does, you know, it affect your brain and your mind. There's not, you know, much 100% certain information out there, you know, as with any abstract concepts. But this is a good starting point. And another website you might like to check out is dreamviews.com, which is quite a good little discussion board where people talk about their lucid dreaming experiences and, you know, kind of share knowledge about the subject. So what I found certainly is that we can really connect to our, you know, spiritual selves on a deeper level through lucid dreaming. And what this means, I mean, it has many implications, you know. I've certainly found, like, even sleep issues like insomnia, trouble sleeping, trouble, you know, accessing deeper dream states can actually resolve with a lot of lucid dreaming practice, because we begin to perceive sleep differently. And, you know, it's not something that you just close your eyes and then 8 hours later or so you awake. It's no longer that. You kind of see it as more of you know, potential to, you know, access a deeper state of consciousness, which is, you know, really interesting, because you know, we're not even talking about meditation here anymore as much, but this is something that you already do, that you can just begin expanding on. And I think it also gives people, you know, that taste of connecting to the, you know, higher self, as some would call it. And Now you find all sorts of changes can begin happening. Like your take on sleep, your take on insomnia, your take on even religion and spirituality can begin to change as a result of some of these experiences. You know, I've certainly read, I read one account, which I don't have the reference on me now, but it was, a devout Christian who had a near-death experience, which was, very similar to what, lucid dreaming feels like. And he found himself in an area that was completely pitch black. And he was, he was convinced that this was hell that he was in. He'd, almost died, and he'd gone to hell because, there was pitch black, and he could hear these whispers kind of around him. And he thought, that's it. This must be it. But what you find is that you can encounter a lot of experiences like that that can be a bit frightening. But in reality, you can change dreamscapes very easily. So if you're conscious of a dream where it's pitch black, I've certainly read accounts where people have simply requested, the lights be switched on, or imagined, it's going to be bright now. And the dream state can change depending on your intention. And that's what this guy was talking about who gave the account. He thought that he was in hell, and then a few moments later, he was like, above the clouds and talking to this divine entity. And he was convinced, this was God. And, no one can really has the right to tell him that that wasn't God. And, that was his experience. And I've certainly found that there are, these higher entities and spiritual beings in the astral planes that we can encounter in lucid dreaming. And because in our world that's not the case, I think we can quite easily confuse them for, this must be God, or this must be, really, really high entity. Whereas there's all sorts of, really cool stuff in the astral planes that when we're not familiar with, it can be a bit overwhelming. You'll probably find accounts on the web of people who have found, even certain spiritual temples that exist, to share insights and knowledge. And you can gain all of this from dreams, or at least from, the higher planes of consciousness. You can gain guidance and insight and knowledge into your life that you, take back with you. And it's all very much possible. I'd like to, actually talk about lucidity and what it is. What exactly, does it mean to be lucid in a dream? Mostly, if someone just begins practicing lucid dreaming, they may find that their dreams are very volatile, not very lucid. And I guess the best way I'd describe this is reality is not a very accurate representation of, the higher dimension, the higher consciousness plane that they're trying to access. And what you find in these states is that your mind begins projecting certain forms onto the dream canvas, so to speak. So if you're feeling upset, for example, you might manifest quite a negative dream state, and this all begins coming from your mind. So while there is some room to change things in a dreamscape in the astral planes, it's not supposed to change so easily that your reality becomes disconnected from the common reality. And at that point, you begin to simply experience your own thought forms and kind of engage with your own experiences. And you can have fun that way too, but you find that it's a disconnected type of consciousness that you're messing around with within yourself rather than connecting externally. And by connecting externally, you are experiencing a greater lucidity, so to speak. And the way I found to do this is quite a lot of, the practices we discussed a couple of weeks back, that mindfulness type of practice where you step back from your thinking rather than engaging with it and simply become the observer. Because, you know, we talked about, you know, you can start feeling a certain emotion, you know, start feeling upset, and then that emotion kind of begins building and building and building. If that were to happen in a dream, that emotion would actually saturate the entire dreamscape and, you know, create certain experiences for you and so forth. That's not the aim. Like with actual lucid dreaming techniques, if you want to achieve a closer connection, you know, with your inner self, the aim is to avoid letting those projections be broadcast onto your dreamscape. And what I mean when I talk about, you know, practicing this self-observation, it's actually doing it throughout the day. Because what you find is that the way your mind kind of works will be a reflection of the way it works here when you become conscious in a dream. So you might have the same types of thoughts and, you know, so forth. And if you've already kind of practiced self-awareness, kind of looking at, you know, your thinking and your emotions and recognizing that, you know, I am this and, you know, the emotion I'm feeling is over here, and rather than meshing the two together and taking all that on. So you find that you're better able to disconnect your being and recognize that that's something unique from your emotional states and from your thinking, and you know, do this in dreams to have a much clearer, a much more lucid experience. So in terms of, you know, actual lucid dreaming techniques, I found a lot of people will teach techniques that I don't really find that helpful. Like if you search for lucid dreaming methods, one technique that will come up is wake-induced lucid dreaming, which is a really popular one. And I've actually, you know, I've had people write to me saying that they've, you know, started experiencing insomnia and sleep disturbance and, you know, feeling tired throughout the day as a result of practicing this technique. So, you know, it's certainly not something I'd recommend first. But a lot of wake-induced lucid dreaming techniques kind of suggest that you perhaps try to enter a lucid dream from a waking state rather than just, you know, kind of falling asleep and then becoming conscious in a dream. And one variation is actually waking yourself up in the middle of the night, like at 3 a.m. or something, and then going back to sleep, because the idea is that you break the sleep cycle halfway and you don't fully exit a dream state, so to speak. So if you kind of go right back into that, it's much easier to access the lucid state. And while that is true in my experience, it's just, you know, it's not great for your health, in my personal opinion. And I actually, you know, see lucidity and lucid dreaming as having this intrinsic link to our own energy in our bodies. And by working with self-awareness and energy, it becomes much easier to have, you know, lucid dreams naturally just by falling asleep, you know, as long as you've kind of focused that energy in the right way. And, you know, in just a few minutes, we'll actually talk about one of the techniques that I use to do that. So, kind of just to delineate the difference between astral projection and lucid dreaming, I suppose when someone is practicing astral projection, it is more of that kind of focused approach, and you're kind of saying, you know, I'm going to go into this meditation now for half an hour or so and practice astral projection. And the first technique that we'll be talking about at the moment is that you can actually use to practice astral projection or to enter lucid dreaming after that practice. So you can use it for both. so to speak. But the aim is ultimately the same if you think about it. What you're aiming to do is to become conscious in a different realm of reality. So, you know, the terminology and the semantics of it all are not really that important. So we might just take, you know, a couple of minutes of a break before we begin talking about, you know, some of the techniques that are helpful in achieving lucidity and consciousness in dreams. Right, everyone, we're back with Awaken Your Higher Mind on BBS Radio, and we're talking about lucid dreaming. So I'm just going to introduce a technique that you can use to experience lucid dreaming and to kind of shift your consciousness into that state of mind. This is a technique that's best practiced before falling asleep. So when you go to bed at night, rather than, you know, just preparing to sleep, it's a good idea to, you know, either practice a meditation or, you know, something that you've decided to work on with your spiritual self, so to speak, especially because, you know, dreaming is often considered the doorway to the soul, and it's very, makes it very easy to practice a lot of these methods. So with this technique, the aim is to create a really strong visual representation or a picture in your mind of where you'd like to, you know, astral travel to, or to, you know, experience dreaming in this location. And I found really often that just thinking about a certain event or a certain place before falling asleep can actually produce dreaming in that state, or, you know, in that location. When you actually consciously build up a really vivid kind of picture in your mind of where you want to go, then you're far more likely to actually experience a really vivid dream. And you know, combined with kind of mindfulness and self-awareness practice, it's much easier to become lucid in those types of dreams. So pick a location anywhere in the world, or, you know, anywhere in the universe that you would like to travel to during dreaming. I find it's actually best to start off with something tangible, you know, maybe somewhere you've been before, we've seen lots of pictures of. A popular one in the lucid dreaming community is the pyramids in Egypt. You know, simply visualizing and imagining, you know, what it would be like to be there before falling asleep. So what this involves is kind of clearing your mind and using those same techniques of, you know, observing, you know, your thinking and just letting it flow through you until your mind is quite focused and still. And as your mind becomes focused, you might like to just ask yourself what it might feel like to be in that particular place that you've chosen. And as you do this, you might, you know, come up with certain pictures or you know, a feeling of what it might be like, you know, what you would experience if you're there. Try to focus on all of your senses. You know, what might you hear in this place? Even, you know, perhaps certain smells or other experiences that might be noteworthy. And the aim is to add as much detail as possible. Like, you know, what's the texture of, you know, buildings there, or where are you standing, you know, are there other people? You know, keep adding as much detail as possible. And a good signal to know that you're, you know, well on the way to succeeding with this technique is when you find it really easy to become engaged with this picture that you're building in your mind. And you no longer kind of become distracted or start thinking about something else. You're totally immersed in that project of, you know, designing your ideal location to travel to, you know, in the dream state. So sometimes, you know, this can be about 10 minutes or so that you spend on it. And most people will just kind of go into a sleeping state at some stage because their mind is so deeply focused on that picture of where they'd like to be. And, you know, certainly in my experience, I'll actually find that this intense focus can cause your astral or energy body to kind of go right into that picture right from waking state, but it feels kind of like your body is falling asleep, but your mind is being carried over into this frame of experience that you've designed for yourself. But I have also heard about, you know, people doing this and then falling asleep and then, you know, somewhere during the night kind of having a dream in this particular location. And with practice, you can bridge that gap more and more, where you find yourself entering that dream state right, you know, right before sleep. So it starts off as just a picture in your mind. It might be, might feel almost two-dimensional, but as you add more detail and become more and more immersed in this, it becomes more three-dimensional and more atmospheric, and, you know, suddenly you find your consciousness in this place, and that's, you know, can be a really profound experience to have, of transferring your consciousness from your body into a totally new environment just for practicing this. And the reason this is so easy, at, you know, doing this at night and in the evenings, is because, you know, we experience certain brainwave patterns. You know, during the day we experience a different frequency of brainwaves because everything is happening so quickly in our minds. And at night everything slows down a lot. And this is a great advantage for, you know, cultivating creativity and connecting with that spiritual sense of ourselves. If you think about, you know, kind of heading into the night and, you know, throughout the night, it's that creative and right brain energy that's flowing very easily. Then when you think about the morning and, you know, kind of in the middle of the day, it's mostly dominated by, you know, left brain energy. We're constantly in that state of, you know, what do I have to do next? Constantly thinking things over and two very different states, and recognizing this is really important to be able to practice things such as lucid dreaming. So what you also experience is, you know, a connection, kind of like a feeling of your higher self or your, you know, spiritual identity towards the night. For some reason, it's more like it's easier to access that than it is during the day, and everything flows a lot easier in that state because you're, when your brainwaves slow down, elements of your higher self can kind of come through from your higher mind into your physical mind and body, and this is something, you know, we're talking about, you know, even next week or the following week with you know, brainwave patterns and how we can recognize certain states that our mind enter into and use them to our advantage. So, you know, a good state is, you know, not to be too awake, but, you know, not to be too sleepy, you know, to practice this. Because if you're too sleepy, then you kind of drift onto sleep straight away without really getting a chance to create a picture of what it is you want to dream. And if you're kind of, you know, too awake, then it's also the case you won't be able to really saturate yourself in that picture because your mind is still really active. So another technique that you can use for lucid dreaming is actually recognizing the energy flowing through your body. Because it's one thing to create a strong visual representation of where it is you'd like to travel to in a dream state. That's another thing to cultivate that lucidity and that consciousness. So we've, like most people have had, you know, really vivid lifelike dreams and yet have not actually been self-aware or conscious in them, in the sense that, you know, they've been in control, you know, during the dream, which is generally speaking, you know, that's quite typical of an astral projection experience and lucid dreaming, is that sense of presence and consciousness that you're actually on the spot, you know, choosing, you know, what you're doing. And working with core energy is a big part of this. So what I've found is actually, you know, focusing on your breathing and taking a deep breath in when you're practicing this technique of, you know, visualizing a certain picture in your mind. Just be mindful of your breathing, and as you breathe in and breathe out, notice any sensations in your body. Because when we talk about lucid dreaming, there are you know, typical sensations, and especially in astral projection, quite typical bodily sensations that we experience prior to going into that conscious dream state. And these body sensations sometimes feel like an elevation, kind of like you're being elevated out of your body. And it's important to remember that most of the sensations that you'll feel when in that really focused mind state are coming from your energy body rather than your physical body. I mean, unless you kind of do have issues on a physical level that may cause them, but otherwise there's usually no reason, you know, to be concerned about them. And a lot of people will be, you know, during the first few experiences that they have, because what you can find is your body, you know, can begin to start shaking, and you feel kind of like a heaviness flow through your body. And this, you know, really can freak people out if they've never experienced energy-like sensations before. And usually there is no need to be afraid of it, because that's all they are, is energy sensations. And if you're experiencing them, that's actually usually a good sign. Another one is kind of experiencing a sense of warmth or heat in certain areas of your body. Your legs might become, you know, really, really hot, or suddenly your forehead might become quite hot, or, you know, cold too. That's, you know, one variation. You can, you know, experience a certain texture on your skin, or kind of a feeling as though an actual stream of energy is flowing through your body. And, you know, these are some of the sensations I've experienced with energy awareness. There's a whole list of them. You know, actually, if you go to that website that I mentioned earlier, astraldynamics.com, and look through the energy sections and how energy relates to astral projection, you'll find a whole list of, you know, common sensations that people experience with energy. I think another one that's mentioned that I haven't experienced personally is like pins and needles types of sensations. But it's interesting because they're not physical. So if you're actually experiencing something like that on your body, and then kind of brush it off with your hand, the sensations disappear because you lose focus. So they tend to exist on an energy-based level right before that state of sleep. And what this is a signal of is that your astral energy body is, you know, beginning to activate, beginning to prepare to transfer consciousness from your physical body into that astral level of consciousness. And many people believe that this happens anyway, regardless of whether we do practices like this or not, but we're not conscious of it. And that's, you know, that's what dreaming is. That's what dreaming is defined as, is kind of our souls travel to other arenas and other dimensions, and then we vaguely remember their experiences when we wake up. With lucid dreaming and with astral projection, what we're doing instead is actually becoming conscious of that process of when the body falls into a sleep and the mind or the soul begins to kind of liberate itself from the body and travel, wherever it wishes. And, you're not, your thoughts or your emotions or the body, you are the soul. So you can actually, decide where you'd like to travel or what you'd like to experience. So we mentioned these sensations that usually come up during lucid dreaming, preparation for lucid dreaming anyway. And what you usually find is that by practicing, this deep breathing and being really focused on a particular location where you'd like to travel to, most people, will find, some sensation. It might even be like a heaviness, or your body becomes quite deeply relaxed and feels quite heavy. For others, it might be something really extreme, like feeling like the body is surrounded by, almost like a bubble of energy, which is also quite common. There are pretty much limitless variations of types of energy. But the aim is ultimately to increase the sensations that you're getting from your energy body. And the more they increase, the closer you come to experiencing astral projection. So once you've been focusing on your breathing for a few minutes and you notice any kind of change, even like a sense of sense that your body's kind of being elevated a little bit, or might just be a heaviness or a sense of warmth somewhere in your body. What I found is focusing on your heartbeat at this point can produce some really interesting results, because as you may know, the physical organs are believed to actually be tied into spiritual energy centers or psychic energy centers. And your heart, your physical heart, is actually tied into quite a major one. And I think that this is really one of the easiest ways to go straight into a conscious dream state, or connect on, a really profound level with a high level of consciousness, so to speak, by simply focusing on your heart, or your heart region. And initially, you just kind of notice that your heartbeat is, you can hear it, but as you begin to focus on that, it begins to kind of become louder and expand. And certainly when you're in that really relaxed and, deep mind state, it's very easy for you to begin to feel your heart beating throughout your entire body. And, this is, it's quite hard to define or describe or talk about, but once you actually have that experience personally, you'll kind of know what I mean. You begin to notice these pulsations coming from your heart and filling your entire body. And a lot of people will notice that it's almost like they even expand outside of their body, into their aura or energy field. And the more you focus on your heart, the more these sensations kind of expand, and then it can begin to feel like your heart begins racing, or kind of beating really heavily. And usually this is the energy center, not your physical heart actually beating really intensely, but the energy center kind of gearing up and becoming really, really energized to help you consciously exit your physical body and travel to the astral dimensions. So, it's kind of a three-step process that I've described here, almost. You can do just the two steps, deciding, first of all, where you want to go, rather than just randomly practicing, deciding, I want to go here or I want to go here in a dream. then building a really strong picture, a really strong representation of what this would mean for you, what it would feel like, and who you might encounter there. And really being able to see that and saturate yourself in that. And then the second part is being quite focused on your breathing to the point where you relax yourself very deeply and usually pick up on some of your energy body sensations. And, you know, it's okay if you don't pick up on anything the first few times. Usually this is something that comes with practice. And as you do begin to practice more often, the third step is actually focusing on your heart, you know, moving your focus from your breathing to completely focusing on your heart, and until you can feel that those pulsations and those beats permeating through your entire body. And I've certainly found that, you know, from that state you can have some really interesting experiences. It's just a matter of, you know, trusting in yourself rather than kind of becoming frightened of, you know, a new sensation or even like the dreaming itself. There's a lot to be dispelled about lucid dreaming and astral projection in terms of potential dangers. Well, there can be, you know, negative entities that people do encounter in the astral planes. Most of them do tend to be projections of your own mind. If you're feeling quite angry or quite upset or sad, you know, some people may find they manifest this, you know, really terrible creature that represents their sadness, for example. It can be quite frightening to encounter, you know, that manifestation of your own emotion in lucid dreaming. I find the most important probably factor is realizing that you can change, you know, dream states. You know, I've heard people about that they've kind of simply removed themselves from one dreamscape and gone, you know, into another one just by intending it. Otherwise, you know, you're just kind of fighting with your own mind. But certainly I believe, you know, the first step, especially for those who are new to lucid dreaming, is reading as much as possible about it and breaking some of those misconceptions. Because the techniques I've described here, they, you know, in my experience, they work really well. But if you don't know or aren't prepared for some of the experiences that might come up, because they're so different from this reality and can really take you into a totally different kind of state of mind. And this is, you know, really, really great for spiritual awareness. I think it's, you know, it's a good idea to have some idea of what to expect. And, you know, you'll notice that as I do these radio shows, they're very hands-on and practical rather than theorizing and going into too much theory. But in this particular topic, I find the theory is quite important, or at least, you know, addressing some of your potential fears or worries about lucid dreaming is really important. Not so much the theory as in, you know, what you'll experience, because that kind of theory, you know, I find that actually limits people, and, you know, they're expecting to experience something. But in the astral dimensions and in lucid dreaming, nothing is what we expect, because, you know, at that higher level of consciousness, you can't define it or you can't kind of describe it. It's beyond description and beyond definition. So I find it's actually a good idea not to, you know, go in there with too many expectations, you know, expecting that you might have a dream in this particular place and then you'll, you know, talk to this person and do that and, you know, get something specific out of the dream. There's a bit of a balance there between allowing things and controlling things. And another really effective way to actually increase the details of your dreams and ensure that they're a bit more vivid is keeping a journal, actually writing down what you experience. What this actually does is it kind of strings along your experiences from dreams, so you might remember one or two details after waking up. And, you know, that's the pitfall of lucid dreaming, is that Often you can remember the entire dream very vividly, but sometimes you won't remember it at all, even though you might have had a really kind of brilliant experience at night. And stringing those details, you know, from your subconscious mind can involve simply writing down, you know, I remember just this one detail. And as you write down the one, then others begin to kind of, you begin to remember more. And as you remember more, you fill in the pieces and then the entire dream comes back to you. So that's why, you know, keeping a dream journal can be so useful. So hopefully, you know, in the next week or weeks to come, there will be a guest appearing on the show that who is quite a modern authority about astral projection and lucid dreaming. So I won't give too much away until a time has actually been scheduled. But I think you'll find, you know, the next couple of weeks to be quite interesting in terms of exploring what it is actually about the way we think and the way we use our energy or don't use energy in our lives that restricts us from experiencing states like lucid dreaming and deeper meditation, and how we can kind of work to awaken those elements within ourselves, which is, you know, what the whole theme of this program is about. So thank you for listening, and see you next week.